You know, everyone loves a good mystery, don't we? Don't we? Yes. Whether it be a movie that kind of catches our attention or a book that we're reading, and there's you know clues that come along on the path, and you're trying to fit them together until there's that obvious final point, that sign that points to the obvious conclusion, and then we come to that moment where the case is solved. Ah, oh, and that feels so good, does it? The questions are answered. There's a sense of, you know, it's curled mustard in the parlor with a rope or whatever that mystery may be. Because we yearn for certainty. And beyond certainty, and we like that. It feels kind of fun when we're able to read the book or watch the movie, play the game, and we're trying to figure it out. That's fun. But in life, we like certainty. And we like control. And in life, some mysteries are not solved in 60 minutes. You know, I was just listening to the news even yesterday, this tragedy that happened up in Idaho a couple weeks ago, these four college students who were murdered. And you hear the frustration, don't you? Because there are clues. I mean, obviously there must be clues, but we don't know exactly what the clues mean, and things aren't seeming to come together so quickly, and then so the frustration begins. You hear it in the press as they ask the police what's going on, and the police say it's an active investigation, we can't tell you, and it just seems like everyone's almost at odds with each other because we don't like that not knowing, do we? That's when a mystery is no more fun anymore. That's when we want to have a solution. That's when we want to have an answer. That's where we want to have finality. But so much of life is not unlike that, that we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know exactly how this is going to turn out. And we simply have to walk by faith. I know it sounds like a cliche, but we need to learn ways of finding a place within us as we wait to see how those things work out, as we wait to watch and see what's going to come down the road, as we wait to see how God will answer. We need to be able to live with a new sense of hope. That's what Advent is really about. That's what this first candle was about today. And it really is what life is about for us. The challenge for hope is when hope meets wait. Hope can get diminished. Hope can become blocked out. Hope can begin to dissipate to the way where we begin to just allow that waiting to raise up questions and doubts and concerns and wonderings. But when wait is met by hope, it can begin to transform that waiting into something of great wonder, actually, the sense of anticipation that can become. You know, this is why I think we like to decorate the house early. This is why we like to see the presents under the tree beginning to build. This is why we do this. It's not so that we can torture ourselves by waiting, but by allowing that waiting filled with hope to begin to build a sense of greater appreciation. So the question for us today, I know this is a nonsensical question, I'm just making it up. Do you tend to meet hope with wait? Or do you tend to meet wait with hope? Because it's going to be part of the mix for all of us. That's just how we are. So going back to our example of the mystery, here is the clue, here is the sign which God said for his people they would wait for. The Messiah is coming, he says. And they are excited. The Messiah is coming. This is great news. And this is how you will know. Okay, good, I'm ready. I'm ready. Isaiah 7, chapter 14. The Lord says to him, there it is, therefore the Lord himself will give you the sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Well, that sign, come on. Think about it. You're waiting for the Messiah. You're not sure when the Messiah is going to come, what it's going to look like. And God says, no worries, you'll know what happens when you see the virgin conceives and gives birth to a son. How often does that happen, folks? Once. And fortunately for us, we're on this side of it, so we can look back and say, for them, that God was going to do something new. God was going to do something grand. God was going to do something never done before. So this can either be a hold on, wait for the sign, with full anticipation of this wonder which God has never done before but was about to do. Or it can be, what? Virgin conceive? Give birth? But when? Well, it will happen when this happens. Oh, that's not very helpful. Thank you, God. Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't happen right away? Maybe have you ever prayed for something on and on and on and it doesn't seem to ever be happening? Even when we don't see it, you're working. Can we say that after how many years of praying for something? This becomes the struggle for us. This is part of what Advent is about. Again, realizing that we often live in the midst, and that for Isaiah and the people around Isaiah, they lived in the midst of what God was doing. They couldn't quite see it yet, but they knew that God was doing something. This begins to fill our waiting with hope, that sense of anticipation. Even the sign, as improbable as it is. By the way, God is really good with improbable signs. I mean, think about it. When you go to the Christmas celebration and they have the shepherds on the hills and they're told to go into Bethlehem and find this newborn king, this Messiah of all the world, and you will know him when you see him because what? He will be a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Come on, who puts babies in mangers? Well, I guess it happened once. So again, the shepherds are going, wait a minute, we know what you do with mangers. We feed our animals with mangers. You don't put babies in mangers. Certainly not the most important baby ever born. Yeah, these clues that God seems to give, I think God has a great sense of humor when it comes to these clues. He's saying, I'll tell you something, you won't believe it, but then when you see it, you'll say, that's only God. And I think that's part of what this is about, this Isaiah 7:14 anticipation. And realize this anticipation's got to last for a while. Isaiah lives over 700 years before the coming of Christ. You think you had to wait a long time for your answer to prayer? Try 700 years. I know for me, it's one of those things that I am so thankful for now, but I know it was hard to the point where I'd given up. Ever since I became a believer back in my 20s, and I'm much older than that now, I prayed that my dad would come to know the Lord as well. But he was very actively antagonistic towards the faith, and he didn't want to ever talk about it, so I would pray for him, and I would then see him not change. And then I would pray for him, and I'd talk to him, and I'd see him not change. And I would pray for him, and I would hang around with him, and I'd see him not change. But I'd continue praying for him, even though, quite honestly, I'll be honest, towards the end, I was like praying this because I knew I was supposed to. But I wasn't praying any longer with any sense of anticipation. I was praying to because that's what I would want, but I really didn't think it was going to happen. Talk about a weak prayer. Then about 5 years ago, when my dad at the care facility accepted Christ, and the chaplain called me and said, John, your dad just accepted the Lord. My first thought wasn't, hallelujah, my prayer has been answered, it was, no way. I don't think you know what you're talking about. Because I almost didn't believe it when it happened. Because my anticipation, my hope had been confronted by waiting to the point where my hope had been diminished. And I'm saying that what we have to do is begin to turn that around. When we're in those places of having to wait, that waiting is an important piece, so long as we keep hope alive. That's what this whole point of this final, this great sign was, that you may not see this and you may not see it because you don't ever, you know that is it. Meeting our waiting with a sense of hope. No one likes to wait. Anyone been to the DMV lately? We don't want to go there. We don't even like to wait now. We get on, we order something from Amazon, and we see that it's not coming tomorrow. And we're shocked, don't we? I got to wait till Friday? Oh, I got to find someone else who's selling this stuff, man. I got to find it. I got to have it right now. We're not good at waiting. You know, Henri Nouwen said this about waiting. Waiting time is not wasting time. Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of the spiritual life. And he was right about in God, because if there's anything that gives us a sense of the ability to rest in God, to trust in God, to allow life not to have it have completely have the upper hand on us, but knowing that God is the one who has the upper hand, this has got to be key for us. If we don't learn how to wait with hope, we will continually find this waiting is what wears us out, which drags us through the pit. It's learning to have a sense of patience. Joyce Meyer says this, that patience is not simply the ability to wait, but it's how we behave while we are waiting. She didn't use the word hope, but that's what she's talking about. It's that ability to remain steadfast, to know that God is at work, that even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. But the problem for us comes to this, and it comes down to a real simple thing, and I'm going to call it the seen and unseen challenge, because this is all that we all deal with. Because we all have to deal with this. We can see things going on, but there are things that are still going on, though we cannot see it. And this is what we need to keep attuned to. This is what God is always up to in the unseen. May be small, it may seem unimportant, it may seem insignificant, but God is at work in all of these things. Now the problem comes for us is when we don't see anything happening and we begin to believe that means God is not doing anything. We begin to believe that the lie that we hear in our head that what's happening here is beyond his control or beyond his desire, or we understood it wrong or we didn't get it straight. When we don't see anything happening, our control says nothing is happening. Our faith isn't working. God is not working. But we need to recognize, again, here it is. God says, no, I am at work in the midst of what you cannot see. The timing is going to be perfect when the timing comes. Will you believe it? Now, the other side of the seen and unseen challenge is this, is that sometimes we feel we are unseen. Sometimes we feel we are unimportant. Sometimes we feel we are too small or insignificant, that why would God even care about us, or does God even care about us? We begin to hear that lie being murmured in our head when things don't go our way, and we begin to think, well, it's probably because of me. I'm not who I ought to be, and so therefore God's not going to be good to me, not going to be faithful to me because I've proven myself not to be faithful. But even when we feel we are too insignificant, maybe just one out of 8 billion people on planet Earth, that's who am I that God would care about me? And yet we see over and over throughout the scripture, and there's a great story back in Genesis 16 of a woman named Hagar who is about ready to give birth to a little child she would name Ishmael. And as she is off in the wilderness by herself, it's a great story, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but as she is off in the wilderness by herself, feeling all alone in the world, unseen by anyone, unseen by the man who impregnated her, unseen by the clan that she was living within, unseen by the culture around her, unseen by her Heavenly Father. She was out in the middle of nowhere feeling just completely desperate. Maybe you felt this way. That I somehow had become invisible. That nobody knows. That nobody cares. In the story of Hagar, there's a verse which says this, that when the Lord calls her back and sends her back and cares for her, she named the place where she was. She gave it this name. She said, "Lord, you are the God who sees me. I have now been seen by the one who sees me." And that is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Now in Hebrew, that literally means being seen by the living one. So we see that this is an image that is implanted in the Bible that says even when we feel we are unseen, it is not that we are unseen, it's just we often diminish ourselves. So, final thing, how do we move that? How do we come to this place of looking again, seeing the truth of Scripture, beginning to apply it to the mess of our life? This is where we need to meet the weight of our life, the W-A-I-T of our life, with the sense of hope in what God is up to. Isaiah 40 says this, that even youths grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Depending on your version, sometimes it says those who hope in the Lord, sometimes it says those who trust in the Lord, sometimes it says those who wait in the Lord. Interesting that all three of those words in our English language are what we determine this word in the Hebrew language meant. But those who wait, trust, hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's a hope that we are invited to tie into. And that's kind of what this whole season of getting ready for Christmas is about. That's why we don't rush, because we want to have time for this hope to begin to grow in us, to begin to recognize the character and the nature of God, to say that He is good all the time, and all the time He is good, even when we have to wait. So, Father, I want to just give you praise today for your goodness in the very many and varied ways that we have already expressed our thanks to you. But, God, I also want to invite you into those darker places where discouragement resides, where resignation lives, where depression reigns. Father, where the fears of uncertainties will never turn out the way that we desire, hold the upper hand. Father, and I would pray with those who are here in this place and those on the live stream today, for every challenge that seems too daunting for us, whether it's an issue of not having housing or a place to be, or it's that child or friend who has taken a wayward step and we don't know what we can do about it, for it's that diagnosis, it's that fear of what this disease may bring. God, in each in every one of those dark places, will I ever be the same having suffered the loss of what I am having to walk through? Into each one of these, God, we pray that you would continue to breathe your Spirit into us, that we would find our hope renewed. And as our hope is renewed, God, our strength too will be renewed. So, Father, help us as we just offer our lives to you through this season, drawing near and near to this celebration of your gift to us, the one who should remind us that there is always going to be hope, because you are the answer. In Jesus' name, amen.